There seems to be an insatiable appetite for controversy today, and the Christian church isn't excluded. Whether it's politics, conspiracy theories, or debates over theological beliefs, the Bible teaches that foolish controversies and disputes are unprofitable and worthless. Pretty strong words. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues his study in Titus chapter 3, where we find a strong warning from the Apostle Paul. His wise counsel helps us refrain from engaging the loud, contentious voices that would otherwise distract us. Chuck titled today's message, "The Tough Side of Ministry."
I've said for years that anyone who enters the rank of the ministry must cultivate two qualities at the same time. First, there must be a tender heart. A tender heart. Without a tender heart, you will succumb sooner rather than later to a jaded and business as usual mentality, sort of a perfunctory response to things of ministry. In place of compassion, you will become calloused without a tender heart. Instead of staying excited and inspired by the things of Christ, you will erode into boredom. And it won't be long before it will have lost its significance to you. Stay tender. But the second is equally important and must be cultivated at the same time. It is a tough hide. You will become, without it, easily discouraged, perhaps even disillusioned, as you lose heart and cave in to criticism and, on occasion, outright verbal assault. All this brings me to a very realistic fact. Those who are engaged in the Lord's work are very big targets. You are the target of the attack. When I meet people who have been in ministry for a few years, I meet those who could tell me, even with names, of folks they trusted who have turned against them, or folks who never determined to stand with them, some who have become shipwrecked and in that way broken our hearts. And then it dawned on me that this is nothing new, that you can literally trace your way through lives in the scriptures as you touch on great names of people that we all admire who had folks like that in their lives. Every one of these great ones had tender hearts and a tough hide. Turn to Nehemiah, chapter 2 of Nehemiah. What a different role Nehemiah played. His job was to build a wall around the city of Jerusalem. People who lived in Jerusalem were unguarded and unprotected. There were those who preyed on them. They were like mercenary predators. They're named for us in chapter 2, verse 19 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, you remember, was called to build a wall around the city and protect it. And these people who were predators didn't like it that a wall would be built and they wouldn't be able to keep doing their work, deceiving, earning an unjust living, taking advantage of the people. So they're named here in verse 19, chapter 2. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you're doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" They call into question their motive. They stand against the act of building the wall, even though God clearly led Nehemiah to build it. Those in ministry will encounter individuals who do not have the same heart for what God has placed on yours. And they feel it is their calling to make your life miserable. Stand tall, stand strong, thicken the hide, keep the heart tender. Go all the way over near the end of the New Testament to the book of 3 John. Third from the last book of the New Testament, 3 John, verse 9. You don't need a chapter, there's only one. You see the verse, verse 9. John, this tender man, the one whose heart was after God, loved Christ dearly. He's at the end of his life, and he's still fighting snakes. 3 John, verse 9, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. Now watch closely. You'll see a tough hide emerge. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. He's a classic example of the church boss. Many a church today has a church boss. Tragically, it's often the pastor. It's easy as a pastor to become a Diotrephes. You are given authority, you are given responsibility, you are given respect, and if you let that go to your head, it will ultimately turn on you. You will want to be first, you will want your way only, and you will resist those who stand against you, and you forget that you only one, called to be the shepherd. The shepherd, not the slave driver, not the Pharaoh. Diotrephes needed to be confronted, and John said, when I get there, I'll confront him. There's another named Paul, who is in 2 Timothy chapter 4, describing a couple of men who became disappointments for him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin at verse 9. Tender-hearted man, but a tough hide. Verse 9 of chapter 4, 2 Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon, Timothy. Here's the first name. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, we wish we knew more of the story. We do know more of Demas, we just don't know more of his desertion. We don't know what it was in the world that attracted Demas, but something pulled him away from Paul's side, where he had been for perhaps years, perhaps a traveling companion. But now, when he is at the end of his life, Paul, with only hours to live and reflecting over the mental memoirs of his journey, he remembers Demas and he sighs because he's disappointed that this man has left him and become a statistic in the streets. Perhaps by now a shipwreck in ministry. Verse 14 mentions yet another far more aggressive person. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Those are strong words, aren't they? I was traveling in South Texas, and not far from Del Rio, which has this massive transmitter and a lot of screaming preachers who are on the radio out of Del Rio. And I was driving across the area and picked up the signal. I don't know who the preacher was, and I don't know who the Alexander was in his life, but boy, he's taking him on the radio. And he said, I just want you to know, I told God on you, he says over the radio. He says, you know what I've said? Sick 'em. I kind of see that in verse 14. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Lord, I can't seem to stop Alexander, but he's no match for you. Take care of him. I prayed that prayer occasionally in my ministry, and I have seen the Lord step in and do that. There are stories I could tell you that would put a chill down your back of the timing of the Lord, the way he intervened. When I was at absolute wit's end, only Cynthia knew how bad it was. And I remember saying to her on one occasion as I threw myself across our bed, didn't even take my overcoat off. I said, if God doesn't do something about, and I named him, if God doesn't do something about, it's going to be the end of me. And within a matter of weeks, the Lord took care of it marvelously. Now, he hasn't yet with Alexander. Look at the next verse, 15. Be on guard against him yourself. for he vigorously opposed our teaching. This is no mild critic. This is no silent defector. This is a vocal dissenter who stands against godly Paul in his ministry. You will have Alexanders in your life. Alexander still lives. It's the name of a good sermon someday, and when you're a little older, you might be able to preach it. Perhaps you've lived long enough to have already encountered an Alexander. I pray they will be few, because they can make your life miserable. Now, with all of that in mind, look at the warning in Romans, the end of the chapter of Romans. Relax, we'll get to Titus next time. Some of you are wondering, good night, are we going to go till 2 o'clock? Well, we may go to 2 o'clock. That'll set a new record for us. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Look at this warning. I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learned, turn away from them. Let's don't go any further for now. Let's go back to the word dissensions. The word means those who make trouble, those who sow discord, those who plant poisonous seeds of strife, those who work against a ministry, a church, a parachurch ministry, a concert ministry, a ministry of counseling, a ministry of any kind. There are dissensions and people who stir the pot. There's another side of them also. There are those who cause hindrances. See that word hindrance? It's the Greek word skandala. You know the term we get from it, skandala. These are people whose influence create a scandal. They stir up an evil snare. They form obstacles that hinder a ministry from proceeding and succeeding. They break down a trust in a trustworthy leader. Tragically, churches have been split by those who dissent and hinder. Please observe verse 18, Paul writes straight from the shoulder, such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but they are slaves of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. There will always be those who are gullible and unsuspecting, and they become the prey of the people who dissent and hinder. They will become the individuals who are taken advantage of as this person comes and stirs up the strife. Finally, and I do mean that, just a glance at Titus chapter 3. I want you to mark three words and we'll return to them next time. Titus 3, verse 8. Trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently. Circle the word speak. There are some things we are to speak confidently as ministers of the gospel. And that is that those who believe God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for us. We are not to be resistant. We are not to be reluctant. We are not to stutter. We are to forthrightly speak of the importance of balancing salvation by grace alone, by faith alone in Christ alone, alongside good works that demonstrate it's a true salvation. Preach both. Declare both. Live both. Because you believe right, you behave right. Because your life is wrapped up in Christ for salvation, may it be wrapped up in Christ as you live out your lives. So speak that with confidence and authority. That's verse 8. Now the next verse to circle is verse 9, avoid. Avoid what? Avoid when? Well, when you encounter foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, they are unprofitable and worthless. Do you notice the ending of verse 8? That's profitable and good. This is unprofitable and worthless. What? getting involved in minutia, unimportant arguments and disputes. There will always be those who will bait you to get involved in such. I say to young men in ministry, stay away from the lunatic fringe. Where there's light, there are bugs. Stay away from the bugs. Stay away from those who focus on things that aren't worth your time. Please, you have only two things to really protect, your testimony and your time. You can't retrieve either one of them. If you waste your time on genealogical nonsense and unprofitable disputes, you're wasting your time. May your life be characterized by being free of that. But it doesn't say avoid all controversies, because some things you deal with will be controversial. Notice in verse 9, avoid foolish controversies. That Greek word is moros. Already you got it. Some of the things that are controversies are moronic. So don't be a moron and get involved in them. Avoid those things. You got to know what to say no to, and God will guide you. Finally, the word, verse 10, is reject. This word gets terribly serious and deserves more time than we have. Reject a factious man. After a first and second warning. Why? Because such a man is perverted, is sinning, being self-condemned. The word perverted means twisted. He's twisted in his thinking, or she's twisted in her thinking. You warn them once. If they stay twisted, you warn them twice. If the twist continues and disruption continues, you got to discipline. It's the last resort. Please don't have a church known for discipline, or you built a Gestapo. But sometime you have to discipline. You don't want a family known for spankings. You don't want to be known as a hard parent, but you don't want to be known as a parent that never disciplines or things get out of control. So within balance, especially when you encounter such an individual, you got to reject him. How you go about that, you got to come next time to find out. So that'll be all part of our next week's message. I read in my preparation of an old German monastery that had two antlers that were stuck together. I kind of got deer on my mind today, don't I? Antlers that are stuck together. And they're so stuck together in the fight that they couldn't get them unlocked. And the animals literally died with locked horns in their fight. And these two sets of antlers still connected and hung up were on display at this old German monastery. It's a good place for that. A whole historian visited the place and said, I'd like to take those to every home I'm in and every school I'm in. What an object lesson. I'd like to add every church we're a part of. May God deliver us from getting so locked up in fights that we miss the goal of ministry, which are so enriching and so rewarding. I'd like us all to bow our heads for just a brief moment. Will you do that, please? Perhaps there's never been a time in your life when you gave yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard words today you've never heard before. You've listened to things about ministry you never thought about before. And today you realize how distant you are. Oh, you may be religious, you may be in church virtually every Sunday, but you've never really submitted to Christ. You've never acknowledged that his payment for sin was the payment for your sin, a payment in full. By receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, you can move from darkness to light, from a worthless, empty existence to a meaningful and purposeful future. We can help you in that journey. Please come and meet with us in the prayer room today or connect with us. We would love to assist you maybe by email or by a phone call. We are here to help. That's why we exist. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you for your marvelous word today. Thank you for the instruction and the exhortation, for the charge and the application of what we have heard. As we have gone through this morning with great music and a great word from your book, may it stay with us. May it make a difference. May it mark our lives. May we remember that all who know Christ are in that sense in ministry. May we live like it. May we work like it. May we relate like it. May we talk like it. Help us, our Father, in this world that's lost its way, to stay focused and to stay in touch, to stay tender, and where necessary, to be tough. I ask all of this in the name of Jesus, our Savior and model. And everyone said, amen.
Whether you're a church leader or a layperson, all of us need to strike that balance between tough and tender. You're listening to Insight for Living, and stick with us because we've reserved the final minutes of today's program for Chuck to share a closing word of application. He's talking about the tough side of ministry. First, I want to remind you that we've prepared a tool that will inspire you to search the Bible on your own. Here at Insight for Living, it's become our tradition to provide a companion Bible study workbook with every teaching series that Chuck presents. This spiral-bound resource is part of our Searching the Scriptures Bible studies, and our study in Titus is called Tough Grace in Difficult Places. This workbook is perfectly suited for your private devotions or to use in a group setting where it will stimulate great conversation among your friends. You can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/workbooks or call us at 800-772-8888. We're also pleased to offer you a new booklet from Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. Early in their marriage, Cynthia struggled to conquer a serious bout with depression. It turned out that the medicine available at that time made things worse, and unwise counseling exacerbated her condition. Cynthia tells a heartwarming story about the healing power of God's forgiveness and how it transformed her relationships and her outlook on life. The booklet again is called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness, and you're invited to request a copy right now when your request includes a donation to support the ministry of Insight for Living. You can call us at 800-772-8888. When you give a donation to Insight for Living, you're becoming a lifeline to someone who comes across this program and discovers the life-changing power of God's Word, just as you once did. To give online, go to insight.org/donate. And now, here's Chuck.
For as long as I have been in the ministry, I have asked the Lord for a balance between a tender heart and a tough hide. It isn't an easy balance. In fact, the latter is harder to cultivate than the former, because I think to be engaged in ministry, a tender heart is almost a given. It's the tough hide that's hard to work on and hard to cultivate. Our home is not a home where there are a lot of mottos and plaques and sayings hung here and there, but interestingly, in my study, there is only one statement that I have fixed on the wall just above where I study. I read it every day. I haven't memorized it, but I can tell you the author, whom I have never read in anything else, William Arthur Ward is his name, and the statement only has four lines. For every achievement, there is a price. For every goal, there is an opponent. For every victory, there is a problem. And for every triumph, there is sacrifice. And so by reading that, I think it might help me to cultivate a hide that's a little tougher. Another example is that I read rather widely, and I often look for insights, techniques, stories, truths that other people who have had that balance were able to use in their lives. Came across one recently of Abraham Lincoln. How did he handle criticism? Well, he ignored it. If I were to read, much less answer, all the attacks made on me, wrote Lincoln, this shop might as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I know how, the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, 10,000 angels swearing I was right would make no difference. Not a bad statement. I've tried to ignore criticism. Sometimes it works, usually it doesn't. So I read on Charles Haddon Spurgeon, thought maybe he would have an insight on it. This is what he said, just the opposite. Get a friend to tell you your faults, or better still, welcome an enemy who will watch you keenly and sting you savagely. What a blessing. What a blessing such an irritating critic will be to a wise man. What an intolerable nuisance to a fool. Well, that hasn't worked either. I'm not going there. The fact is that sometimes criticism comes from people who are just plain evil. And their words are not worth concerning yourself with, and you swear you will not think about them, and then you memorize them. Some people are not worth the thought. There are a few people like that, but there are some.
How should we respond when a pastor morally fails? I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to hear Chuck Swindoll's answer Thursday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Tough Side of Ministry, was copyrighted in 2006, 2007, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.